All right, so if you guys haven't noticed, it is almost Easter. This coming Sunday is Easter. And so it's fitting for us to talk about something during Easter. What is the thing that we should be talking about during Easter? Obviously Jesus, right? But what did he do that we celebrate Easter for? He rose again from the dead, right? So this whole series in Colossians that we've been walking through, Paul has been talking to us about this really important moment in the timeline. Like in all of history, there's one super important thing that changes everything. And it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you might be like, well, what about his death? Well, his death's really important too, but if he had just stayed dead, it would have been pretty uneventful for us. He would have just been another martyr, another person who's gone out and been like, I'm going to do this thing for people and I'm going to make waves in my community and then like give their life even for this cause, and it's respectable and all that, but it's not powerful. It doesn't change people. It doesn't transform people. But when someone dies and is buried and in the grave for 3 days, as dead can be, and then all of a sudden rises again to life and is seen by hundreds and thousands even of people that witness him alive again, that record it, that talk about it. When he is alive enough today that he literally changes our lives 2,000 years later, where we today can talk to him and he does interact and speak back to us in ways that blow our minds even today. That's powerful. The resurrection of Jesus is the one thing that trumps everything else in all of creation. It is the most powerful, most important event in the entire timeline. And when we celebrate Easter, I hope for you it's more than just these like Easter bunnies and chocolates and fun things that we do. I hope that it's a time where you're spending this season thinking about the most amazing thing that's ever occurred. The most life-changing thing that could ever step into your life, that some of you might even be missing tonight. You're like, I've never really even thought of the resurrection. Like, it's a big weird word, and like this dude dying and coming back to life, and like it's just too much for me. And maybe tonight I could invite you to think about it a little bit with us, because it's the most important thing that's ever and will ever happen. And it is the thing that will change your life for eternity, if you really get to grasp what it is and believe it. When I was a little kid, you can already guess, I loved Superman, right? Like, I was a huge Superman fan. You guys know that. And so I had, like, the whole Superman getup. Like, I still have multiples of, and you still get sometimes see me in it awkward, right? But the deal was, I always wore it, like, all the time. I'd get home from school, and boom, Superman, like, costume was on. The cape was flowing. Like, I was always wearing this thing. And I would love to put on my Superman suit, and then I would go in my room, and I would go get in front of my mirror, right? And I would check myself out. I'd be like, dude, I look so awesome. Nope, it's still me. And I'd be like, no, maybe if I pose better, right, I'll look more like the Man of Steel. And I'd pose, and I'd try to suck my little chunky gut in. And I would, like, do all these moves, and nope, still me. Just in blue spandex. Really tight blue spandex, right? Like, I wasn't Superman, and I would get so frustrated because I'd be looking in this mirror, and I'd be like, but wait, I put on my Superman suit, and I did all the moves that Superman does. But when I look in here, it's still showing me. See, the thing was, I wanted to look like him. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to basically transform and be someone else. But just putting the suit on and mimicking his motions was never going to be enough. I was saying that, still that same chunky little kid in blue spandex. And that's all it was. And I would get so frustrated about it. Why am I not more like Superman right now? And you know, as Paul's talking to us, and we're at this really cool part in our series in Colossians, it's awesome that tonight is the night we're talking about Easter, because we don't even have to move out of the series. And when we first start reading the verses for tonight, you're going to be like, Rob, you're insane. Why are we reading about that in our Easter service? But if you give me a minute, you'll see exactly why. You see, what Paul's doing tonight is he's taking a mirror to us, and he's holding it up in front of us, and he's trying to let us see. He's like, listen, y'all, we've talked about the gospel. We've talked about this focus that we get that gets all skewed and blurred and distorted by the world and by distractions, and we don't see Jesus, and we don't see how beautiful he is and how powerful he is. We don't see how important Jesus is in our lives. We don't see our sin and who we are correctly, how weak and broken we are, how small and incapable we are of saving ourselves. We don't see the mission of God in our purpose in life clearly. We think it's all about us, and we try to live for us and do the things we want to do instead of saying, hey, God has an eternal purpose for us. Like the whole thing, the entire gospel, the whole story, all of the power of his resurrection gets distorted. And Paul wants to give us a clear focus. He wants us to fix our eyes on things above and not on things in the earth. And tonight, it's him basically holding up the mirror because he's like, listen, we just talked about the things that you need to take off. The sin and all these things that should fall out of your life because you're done with them and you want to follow Jesus. We just talked about the things we should put on. The things that you should start to look like and how you should be transforming and your heart should be different because now Jesus lives in there. And now that you see that, here's what I want to do. I want to hold up a mirror to you. This spiritual mirror for you to look into and see yourself and be like, man, well, I tried to look like Jesus. You know, like I put on the whole Jesus suit and went to church and I wore the Jesus t-shirt and bracelet and I went to the Christian school or I went to that church with my family. And we list these things we did, right? They're like just these blue spandex, basically, of the Christian world. But I really tried hard to act like Jesus. You know, I started watching my mouth and the things that I say and how I treat people. Like I really like forced myself to try to be better. And that's no different than just doing the poses in front of the mirror, but it's still the same old you. Because God doesn't ask us to change your behavior. God doesn't say, I'm going to transform you by you first. Just change your behavior and be a good boy and a good girl. He says, look, check it out. Take an honest gaze into this. See who you really are. Start off by being honest with yourself. What do you see in here? Is it broken? That's okay. It's good you see that. Is there guilt and shame in here? That's okay. It's good that you see it. Is there sin? Is there pride? Is there selfishness? Is there lust and envy? Is there all those things in here that make you not look like Jesus? It's okay. Just, it's good that you see it first. Because when you look in this mirror that he's about to show us this truth, because he just said a really big thing last week. You know what he said? He said that in every single part of your life, you should be doing it for the name of Jesus. In everything. And he used that word. He said, everything. And I asked you, I said, how in the world do you do everything in the name of Jesus? Think about that word, what that really means. I'm brushing my teeth for Jesus, putting my socks on. That's for you, Jesus. Like it almost seems childish. Paul, how do I do everything that I do in the name of Jesus? The big things seem cool, right? Like go to Africa. Did that for you, Jesus. Pat on the back. Read my Bible today. Did you see it? Pat on the back. Like those things, we like, those fit natural, but he's like, no. Not just the churchy things. I want your entire life. I want every breath. I want every time your heart beats in your chest. Every conversation you have, every friend you talk to on the phone. I want it all. He says, you're dead without me. I am literally giving you life itself. So be mine. Be completely mine. And he uses that word everything. And the mirror tonight is to help us see. What does everything look like? What do I look like when I stop trying to just put on a suit or do the poses? Change my behavior. What does it look like when I am changed from the inside out in a way I can't do? When Jesus literally says, do you surrender to me? Do you choose me? And when your heart truly does, you know what Jesus does? He changes you. He transforms you from the inside out. So when you hold the mirror up, you don't see you anymore. You see Jesus. You're like, I actually look like Jesus now. I talk like Jesus now. I live and want things the way Jesus would now because he did something that I couldn't do. His Holy Spirit changed me from the inside out and made me like him. No more costume I'm wearing so people think I'm a Christian. No more pretending. No more acting. I really am this. I love Jesus, and it's going to show up when you love Jesus in the mirror like this. Everything you do, every heartbeat, every sneeze, every cough, literally everything, who you are becomes Jesus's. So read with me. We're going to read in Colossians. We're finishing our series. So we're in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 18. We're going to read to 4, verse 1 together. It says this. And like I said, you're going to be like, you're insane. How does this first verse sound anything like an Easter passage? Just bear with me. You're going to see. Verse 18, it says, wives. I know. It sounds funny. Like a marriage? None of us are married. Most of you aren't married in here, right? But hold on. Wives, submit to your husbands. Okay, that's it. That's a sermon for tonight. Did you hear me? Did you hear what he said? You better know. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do it. We won't do that tonight. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Don't miss that phrase. As is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Hear that phrase again? Verse 21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart. Check out this phrase, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You're like, Rob, what in the world are we reading? And it sounds at first like Paul's just starting to give us this big hodgepodge of like advice for different people to do different things and like obey these rules, everyone. Let's hold this together as a community. That's not what he's doing. He just got finished saying, Jesus will transform you from the inside out, and he wants you to do everything in his name. And so he starts to list what everything looks like. Guess where? In the most intimate places of your life. In the places where you might think it's okay to not live for Jesus. Like, who cares? No one's going to see me there, right? And he starts off and he's talking about your home. He says, he lists like family stuff, doesn't he? You see that? Wives. And then he talks about to the husbands. And then he talks to the children. And so he's going into one of the most intimate places of your life, your home, your family. And he's talking to the different people of the family saying, whoever you are. And then he keeps repeating a phrase over and over. Do it as to the Lord. Do it as to the Lord. Do it out of fear of the Lord. Over and over, that is following his advice. You know why? Because he's saying your family and your home, where you could easily just go and hide and just act however you want. They're your family. They know you. You're comfortable with them. You can talk to mom and dad however you feel like, right? And then come to church and act like a saint and a little angel. But then at home, you guys are fighting and screaming. And it's like this horrible scene. It's like a battle scene in your house. But then at church, it's like everyone's lined up in a row holding hands singing Kumbaya. It's like, what's going on? Paul says, no. Let Jesus invade your home. If he's in your heart, guess how you're going to treat your parents? With more respect than you'll probably treat anybody else. Man, I hope you're hearing this tonight. Nobody's parents came up to me before this and like slipped me a 20 and were like, hey, talk about children obeying their parents because my kid's being really bad at home. That never happened. But here's what Jesus does say. He wants to be the king of your home. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves your family. And he wants every interaction that you have in your house with your family to be surrounded around him. He wants to be the central focus. So when you speak to mom and dad, even when you're mad at them and you think you're being treated unfairly, he wants you to be able to speak to them with his heart and not your angry opinions. He wants the words that come out of your mouth to be his. He wants you to lean on the Holy Spirit in those moments that are difficult because you're around your family all the time. And as people are close and spending lots of time together, guess how we act? And Jesus says, even then. You know who would notice a change in your heart and your life first before anybody else? Your family. They would see it. And I know there are some of you tonight who are like, man, I want to live for Jesus. I want that transformation in my life. I want to be on fire for him. You know how I know that? Because you've been raising your hands week after week after week telling me that. And we've been praying for you. And I wonder, after we keep raising our hands and saying these prayers together, what's happening in your house? Is Jesus transforming your heart? Does your family, are they starting to notice a difference in you? Like, man, you speak to me different. You obey differently. There's a joy that's different about you. Some of us think like home is just fair game, and God says, no, like Paul's telling us here, Jesus wants to be the center of your home. Well, I'm not the parent. I'm not mom or dad. It's their job. No, it's yours. You carry Jesus in your heart. Be the change in your house. Maybe your parents aren't even Christians. Maybe you need to share the gospel with your parents. Maybe you have a brother or sister who doesn't know Jesus. What an awesome opportunity to love on someone that I'm sure you love so much by sharing the gospel of Jesus with them, by showing them that everything you do in your life, it's about Jesus. So stop for 1 second. Hold that mirror up. Not a legalistic one that's asking you to check off rules and things you've done or not done. That's not what Paul's doing. He just wants to see, do you see transformation in your life? Do you see the resurrection of Jesus, this thing Easter is all about? Do you see it changing your life? Hold that mirror up and look and say, what do I look like at home? How do I act with my family? Don't start going, oh, I need to change my behavior. Start going, oh, I need to surrender to Jesus. I need to give up to Jesus and let him do something in my heart. Change my heart when I'm in my house. Paul goes on, right? That's just the first place that he looks at. And then he keeps talking about, he switches in verse 22. He says, bondservants, right? Basically, people who have jobs. That's the equivalent today is what this would sound like. Someone who's working off a debt, someone who's working to be paid. And that's who many of us have. Some of you guys even have jobs now, juniors and seniors. But as you maybe think of school or places where you have authority figures over you, that's the scenario he's setting up for us. So he's saying bondservants obey in everything. There's that everything again. That's a big deal. How do we do that? Those who are your earthly masters, your authority figures, your teachers and principals, your coaches, your parents even, your boss at work, your manager. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, he says, but with sincerity of heart. You see, there's this thing we do. We try to like kiss up to our authorities so they like give us extra like special attention. Like we can get away with things and don't get in trouble for things or whatever. But like when they turn their back, it's like, yeah, we're doing our own thing. We have this way of only working when we're being watched or getting credit for it in some way. And Paul's like, no, like, Jesus, the transformation of Jesus in your heart says, I want to be like Jesus. And Jesus would respect this person because they deserve it as an authority figure in my life. Think about yourself at school right now for just a second. Hold that mirror up. Do you respect your teachers, even the ones that get under your skin? Even the ones you don't really like, just straight up, I just don't like them. But do you respect them? See, the two can still happen. You can still dislike a person and not get along with a person, but still show the love and respect that they're deserved as human beings, as the children of God, as your authority. He says, not as eye service or people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart. That means that if you're saying I follow Jesus with everything, and in every area of my life, with everything that I do, that even in the hard moments when I bump up against authority, I'm able to submit and respect and love the way Jesus did. And that's really hard. But remember when Jesus was on a cross? Remember as they were driving nails through his hands and feet? Remember when he screamed at him and cursed at him and told them all sorts of terrible things? I hope you don't remember that, because that didn't happen. Instead, he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Man, it's hard. And you and I will fail every single time. But the beautiful part is that when we surrender to Jesus and don't just try to put on the suit and look like him and change our behavior, but we say, Jesus, I give up. I'm yours. I need your help. He gives you the supernatural power you need to do the thing that's really hard, to respect and love the people that God's put as authority in your lives. I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe you don't have a job and you're like, this doesn't make sense. I don't even work anywhere right now. But maybe it's school, or maybe it's your house. It's your parents. But how do you respond to authority? Is there a rebellious heart of sin in you, or is there a heart of love and respect and authority, like where you can submit to authority the way Jesus did? Look back at, check out chapter 4, verse 1 real quick. We'll jump forward. It says this, masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So he flips the table for a second. He's like, all right, I'm not just talking to the people who are the employees or the students. I'm also talking to the teachers, and I'm talking to the bosses, and I'm talking to the parents, the authority figures too. And guess how he tells them? So some of you guys might be an authority figure in some way. Maybe some of you older kids, you're already like managers in the place where you work. Maybe you find yourself in leadership teams or different places where you have some sort of authority given to you. Maybe you have a younger brother or sister in your house. And maybe it's not the other side of the equation you need to think about, but Paul needs to remind you of this. That if you have that authority, guess how you should use it? Treat people justly and fairly. Not because he's trying to just change your behavior to make you act a certain way, but because literally you have a master in heaven. This is about Jesus. Do you hear it? It's so easy to read a passage like this and be like, so legalistic, and that's what church is all about, just telling us to do things and not do these things. That's not what he's doing. He's pointing your eyes back at heaven and saying, fix your eyes on things above. Get your focus back. Stop looking at the world. Jesus should be the center of everything in your life. That's the point of this resurrection. And then he finishes by this little section, verse 23. He says, whatever you do, there it is again, right? Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Directly, he's talking about this work situation. That's the picture he's using, but it doesn't just mean at work. He means everything that you do, you're doing it really for Jesus. That's how brushing your teeth becomes for Jesus, by the way. That's how tying your shoes becomes for Jesus, not in some cringe way, but in a way that says, every bit of my energy is dedicated to Jesus. You got my whole life. Everything I do, everything I say, everything I feel, I want it to be for you. I belong to you, Jesus. I'm holding nothing back. You get all of it. There aren't little parts where I'm like, Jesus, you can have all this, but don't touch this piece right here. This is mine. Don't mess with these friendships. Those are mine. And we'd like to compartmentalize and put in little boxes of things we don't want Jesus to touch. And he's like, no, it's all mine. That's how this works. If you want to completely die and completely rise again, you got to let it all die. Stop bringing the tumors and the cancer and the brokenness and the sickness with you into this thing. Leave your sin behind and wake up completely brand new. That's by becoming completely mine. No more holding things back. Everything you do, even at work or school or wherever it might be, let it be for me. Verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You know why people can mistreat you and you can still move forward with Jesus? Because you already got the best reward you could ever imagine. There's nothing better than what you've already gotten if you believe in Jesus. You have eternal life in paradise with your Creator forever. Nothing is better than that. There is no greater reward, and that's what we're waiting for. Are you seriously going to sit down here and squabble over some stupid little earthly things that we're upset about? That's what he's saying. Oh, that person called you a name. Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, listen, I'm not trying to belittle the things that happen to us here, but when we see a clear picture and have a clear focus of reality, the real deal is what he says right here. Your inheritance is a reward of eternal life forever. Let it go. Let it go. All of a sudden, you're able to overcome things and challenges in your life most people couldn't dream of. You know why? Because you're living for something bigger, something better than you've ever imagined in your entire life. It's already yours. You're just awaiting it. So look forward to it. Be anxious to wait and be like, man, I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. I can't wait for eternal life. I can't wait for heaven. Live for those things with your eyes fixed on things above, not on things of the earth. Let that resurrection of Jesus transform you from the inside out. Paul finishes by saying this. He says, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Partiality means like unfairness, favoritism. He's like, we will all be judged in the end. And all of a sudden, Paul, he reaches down and he picks up this mirror and he holds it. And he says, look in here. Don't get blinded by it, but look in here. I hope when you look in this thing tonight, I hope when you look into the spiritual mirror we're holding up tonight, better than this one, that you see Jesus. That we stop seeing the earthly things. We stop caring so much about the earthly things. And you start longing for eternity with your Savior. That resurrection, that Savior who rose from the dead for you, that life is yours if you believe. And when you look in this mirror, you'll see Jesus when you're willing to surrender everything to Jesus. Stop trying to just change your behavior. Stop putting on the blue spandex. Start surrendering it all to Jesus and say, I want you more. The reward of heaven is far better than anything on this earth. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? There's no music tonight to end us. There's no smoke and all that stuff. We're just going to talk one-on-one tonight. The resurrection of Jesus is the greatest thing we could ever talk about. And there might be some in this room tonight, you've never received that gift of eternal life. If you were to die tonight, you don't know where you would go or what would happen to you. If I were to ask you, hey, would you go to heaven if you were to die tonight? Some of you might not even be able to answer that. You wouldn't know if you'd go to heaven or hell or what's awaiting you. And that's okay. It's good to see that in the mirror tonight so you know. But once you know, take a step toward Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but by him. Tonight, maybe tonight, you would sit there and you'd say, Rob, I don't know Jesus is my Savior. I don't know that. I've never prayed and asked him to forgive me of my sins. I have never prayed and asked Jesus to save me and trusted him alone to do that. But tonight I want to. I'm looking in the mirror and I'm ready. I see I need Jesus and I want to be saved and forgiven tonight. How do I do that? Listen, if that's you, would you just do one thing for me? I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. But just with everyone's eyes closed and heads bowed, would you just slip your hand up in the air? Just, I'm the only one seeing it. But if you'd say tonight, like, I need to know Jesus as my Savior. I want to trust him tonight. I want my sins forgiven, and I haven't done that. Rob, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and say that to me? Rob, would you just pray for me tonight? Just so I know to pray for you. Yeah. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, listen, I looked in the mirror, and I just see a person who's trying to go through the motions. God's calling me tonight to surrender. There are parts of my life I'm not letting Jesus touch. I'm holding it back, and it needs to be his. And tonight, I want to give it up to him. I want him to have everything. But I need some prayer for that. It's scary. I don't know how to do it. Rob, would you pray for me tonight? I would love to. If you would just slip your hand up and just tell me that that's you tonight. Yeah. My hands are already up. Anybody else, just pray for me tonight that I would just surrender it all to Jesus. I want to be on fire for Christ. I want him to have everything. Just slip your hand up so I can say a quick prayer for you tonight. And praise God. Y'all, that is awesome. Man, thank you, Jesus, for doing this tonight. Anybody else, would you join us and raise your hand? That's you? Yeah. Thank you for having the courage, y'all, for raising your hands to say that. Let me pray for you right now. Father God, thank you for the work you're doing in our hearts. We can't claim this work because we can't do the work. You have to do this. Father, as we look in the mirror tonight, there are students here who are saying either they need you as their Savior, or God, there are parts of our hearts that we need to give up to you and be completely yours. Will you give them the courage to take that step? To surrender, to fall on their knees tonight and say, Jesus, it's all yours. I'm not holding anything back. Take it all. I completely belong to you. When you say do everything in your name, I want to do everything in your name tonight. Lord Jesus, will you do that in them? Holy Spirit, will you fill them? Will you help them go home tonight and live different in their house with their family? Will you help them go to school and work and live different with those people of authority in their lives and coworkers and those that might work under them? God, every area of our lives, you spoke tonight, we heard, we give it all to you and we love you. Thank you, Jesus, for rising from the dead so that we can now have life. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.